Let's open with hymn number 16. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me be ashamed. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, and merciful God, who by thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hast established the kingdom of grace for us that we might believe the forgiveness of our sins in thy holy church on earth. Since thou art a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, we beseech thee graciously forgive us all our sins through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 24th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 7th chapter of Daniel, the 9th through the 14th verse. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd through the 10th verse. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Here ends the epistle lesson. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth shall he, that he may judge his people. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and weeping shall fly away. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the 31st through the 46th verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed, with the Apostles' Creed, excuse me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 448. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Revelation, verses 8 through 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Here ends our lesson. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, our Savior, what would you do if you had a letter from Jesus? Surely you would treasure it as your greatest possession. Yes, we hear Jesus through the writings and letters of his apostles. Jesus, though, did not write the Gospels. He did not personally write the epistles of Paul, Peter, and John. By his Spirit, he inspired every word these men wrote, causing them to perfectly describe his person and work, and his word and doctrine. These are his words, and yet he used the faculties of men, their particular literary styles, vocabulary, and figures of speech. But do we have any letter directly from Jesus? Yes, we do. We have such a thing, though it is not often noticed as such. And we have not just one, but we have 7 letters from Jesus. His own precise words, transcribed word for word by John. This is not John writing his own gospel and epistle by inspiration of God. Here he directly writes down Jesus' precise words. And therefore the title of this book is not the revelation of St. John, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because over and over again, we hear Jesus telling John the very same things he told the prophets of the Old Testament. Write this. And so John wrote. It is little wonder the language of this book is radically different than anything else John had written. The book begins with a description of Jesus on the throne of heaven. And it continues with 7 letters to 7 churches. And it continues on after that with 7 grand and glorious visions of the end. Each letter is addressed by Jesus to the angel of each church. The word angel means messenger. Jesus is sending these letters to the pastors of each congregation so that they might speak the words of Jesus to the flock. But even as they're addressed to 7 churches, in every case, the letter ends with a word to you and to every Christian. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. These words are meant for you to hear and believe. There is nothing that you endure. There is no temptation that you must endure that other Christians have not already endured before you. The same word which instructed and comforted the church at Smyrna is just as true for you as it was for them. Some of these letters are a very harsh admonition. To the church of Laodicea, Jesus threatened to spit them out of his mouth because they were lukewarm. This letter is not that way at all. Here was a faithful congregation with a faithful angel, that is, a faithful pastor. They had already endured much tribulation. And tribulation has a way of strengthening Christians, disciplining our sinful flesh, and cleansing us of many dearly held errors. The Christians at Smyrna were oppressed and poor. And in their poverty and in their tribulation, they could do nothing but hear the word of Jesus and believe it and call upon him for help and comfort. But their weakness and poverty was their strength. And it is your great strength as well. When you are weak, then Jesus is strong. And when he is strong for you, he fights for you. And you cannot fail. For he is greater than anything that can trouble you. He is greater even than death. And as the one who is greater than death, Jesus introduces himself as the writer of this letter. In the beginning of this book, you see Jesus no longer as the suffering lowly servant. Now he enjoys all of his glory and divine splendor. He's the mighty God, the creator and preserver of the universe, and he sits upon his throne of glory and he reigns. And so he describes himself as the first and the last, the beginning and the end. But he also says that he is the very same one, he who is eternal in his nature and Godhead, who was dead and came to life. You have here in the words of Jesus a powerful weapon against temptation. For your Lord Jesus is the God who is the Alpha and Omega, and yet listen to what he says of himself. He was dead and he came to life. The Jesus who sits upon the throne of glory is still the Son of Man who gave his life as a ransom for the world. Even in his glory, he was the same Jesus who died, and now he lives. Jesus wants you to remember who he is. He reminds you that he is both God and man, so that you will have a fervent trust in him. He has the power to help you in his need, for he is God. And so his help cannot fail. No power on earth or even in hell can stand against him. And yet, because he is a man who even died once and now is risen, you can approach his throne. He points you to his own death, where he was crucified for you. And to his resurrection, where he conquered death for himself and for you. Do not be afraid to boldly call upon his name for help. He will hear you. Indeed, if you read through the rest of this book, you will see several times the glorious picture where once we saw, we're in that same throne room, and we saw in the book of Isaiah where there were the angels covering their faces. Now there are thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, singing glory to the Lamb who was slain. Jesus continues this letter by telling the truth of Smyrna and of those who persecuted them. He says, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Jesus does not see as men see. He always sees and judges rightly. To the world, the church is lowly and despised, oppressed, impoverished. The more faithful she is, the more lowly and poor she seems to be. But that is not what Jesus sees when he looks at Smyrna. You are rich, he says, for in his kingdom, the suffering and the poor are truly rich and comforted. They who are the least in the eyes of men are great in the kingdom of God, and not because there is any merit in poverty or in suffering, but because they are poor in the things of this world according to the things that men look for. They are beggars. They are sinners. And they make no bones about their sin and their lowliness. They are not the Pharisee standing before God boasting of their righteousness, but the tax collector crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so they are rich. You are rich in all things, because even if you lose all that you have, even your lives, you lack nothing. Even here on earth you are already rich. For you have the treasures of heaven, both those which are given to you as a foretaste in the holy scriptures and in the sacraments, and your promised inheritance which is still to come, eternal life and treasures beyond imagining waiting for you. But these things are hidden from the world. They only see our poverty. But also the nature of our enemies are not what they seem, either. Satan was the enemy that oppressed Smyrna. And yet, the people through whom Satan did this called themselves Jews. They called themselves Jews, because that is what they were by blood. Therefore, what a startling condemnation that Jesus pronounces against them. They say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Such harsh words to our modern ears. But Jesus does not care what men think. He's not interested in political correctness. He will not compromise and distort the truth. He says they are Jews, they are not Jews, because a true Jew is a child of Abraham and a follower of Moses. And if these were such, they would believe Abraham and Moses' words. And they would worship the God of Abraham and of Moses. And therefore they would rejoice to receive Christ whom Abraham and Moses preached. But they were false. They rejected the Son of God, and in so doing they rejected the Father who sent him. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, "He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." And so they rejected God, their Father. And because of this, their sinful flesh could not leave well enough alone. And so it is for all who turn away from the true God. It is never enough simply to turn your back on the revelation of God's word. No, then you must destroy and tear down all that God builds up. And so they persecuted those who worshipped the God whom they rejected. The church of Smyrna and all the churches in the early church had already suffered much at the hand of these false Jews. In the book of Acts, we see that they went from city to city inciting the pagan world to commit violence against the Christian churches. For that is what all who reject the Lord do. They may not do it with their hands, but they do it nevertheless with their hearts. But though the Christians at Smyrna had suffered much, their tribulation was not yet ended. Jesus, therefore, comforts them. He says, "Do not fear any of the things that you are about to suffer." Literally, he says, "Nothing fearing of those things." Jesus, in his glory, always declares to his Christians, "Fear not." Even when his glory is reflected in the glorious angels, that is the word to us. Fear not. Wherever the glory of God appears, Jesus does not come in his glory to destroy you. He comes to comfort and to save you. But here Jesus is not speaking about himself, but he's speaking of the things that the church at Smyrna is about to endure. And yet it is still his glory that they should not fear. For in all that the devil, for all the evil that Satan thinks that he will do, it is still Christ who is reigning. He turns every evil that the devil does into an instrument for his own glory. It does not seem to be God at work when persecution happens. Jesus said that the devil will throw some of them in prison so that they may be tested. But Satan does not test anyone. He's not interested in playing games with them. He only wants to destroy. The testing is the one that God himself gives. Does God test people to determine whether or not they are going to be faithful? No. God never tests us in that way. He already knows the end of our testing before it even begins. He tests us for our own good, so that the trial of our faith might be like silver or gold that is melted down, so that all the impurities are separated out and only the pure metals remain. No one wants tribulation. No one wants to be put to the flame. But even though the devil torments for his own evil reasons, God brings a wonderful good out of it. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. It may come as a shock to some people, but Jesus does not promise that faithful, spirit-filled Christians will escape the sufferings of this world. He does not promise that the sun will stand still for them, or that their life will miraculously be preserved. In fact, it is certain that some of the congregation of Smyrna would probably die when they were tested. And it is certain that all of us will finally die as a direct result of the sin that is in the world and is in our own flesh. Our death may come naturally, or we may die at the hand of the enemies of Christ, and yet remember Jesus' words, "Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." The victory of Christ is only partially real. Pardon me. It's only partially realized in this life. And it is hidden from the eyes of men. When we die, we seem to have failed. But no eye has seen, nor has any ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Your glory is not... Your glory is not in this life. It awaits you after this life, when your bodies are raised from the dead. Jesus gives you the promise that he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And what is it that overcomes the devil, the world, and our flesh? It is the faith of Jesus Christ. Satan cannot accuse you when Jesus himself declares that your sins are forgiven. Later in the book, we hear this glorious declaration. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin. His word of testimony declares it to you. Against this the devil has no power, and even death itself must flee. The second death, that is eternal death in hell, will never touch those who are in Jesus, who overcome not by their own strength and power, but by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of his word. God indeed grant unto you such a crown of life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, of whom and through whom and to whom are all things, to thee be glory forever and ever. We thank thee for all thy blessings, for our creation and all that exists, for the priceless gifts and endowments of body and mind, and for daily providing all the necessities of life. But most heartily do we thank thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, by whom thou hast saved us from wrath and appointed us to obtain salvation and eternal life. Grant that we may be filled with his Spirit and produce the fruits of faith, so that when he shall come in his glory, we may be received into his eternal kingdom. And as thou wilt uncover the counsels of every heart, reveal to us our great sinfulness and lead us to repentance. Cleanse and purify us by thy grace, that we may be absolved from all our sins and preserved from the power of evil. Sanctify all our thoughts, words, and endeavors, that we may love and serve only thee. And finally, in the day of judgment, may we be conformed into the image of thy dear Son. Open our eyes to see that Christ is near, so that we might labor with diligence in proclaiming thy word with all boldness, that thy name may be glorified among men. Have dominion over all the nations of the earth, and bless our own land. Guide those who are in authority with thy wisdom, that they may rule with humility and serve with uprightness. Defend our homes from the corruption of the world, the devil, and our flesh. Keep our parents in the faith, loving and honoring one another, and our children in affection and obedience, growing in grace and favor with thee. We pray for all sorts and conditions of men, but especially for the afflicted. Lift up the weary and the wounded. Touch the sick and the diseased. Strengthen the aged and the infirm. Give hope to the depressed and anxious. Guard the imperiled and oppressed, and by thy mighty power give them in Christ Jesus light for their darkness and joy for their sadness. And now, O God, who wilt once more shake the heavens and the earth, but who hast given us a kingdom which cannot be shaken, grant unto us steadfastness and patience, that when thy Son shall appear, and all his holy angels with him, we may be clothed with his righteousness, and inherit the heavenly city which abides forever. In his exalted name we pray. Amen. We sing hymn 524. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 53.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Good morning. Apologize for that. I don't know what happened.